When we lived in Africa, we sometimes would see bushfires sweeping across the hillsides. And when we saw a fire like that, we were awe-inspired and also terrified because of the speed with which fire travelled in the hot areas where we were at times. And those fires were so powerful that they could leap across a road to the trees and the bush on the other side. Powerful is fire. A smouldering wick in one of our churches in St. Helens, in an empty church after the Sunday service, ignited itself again 4 days later and set the altar on fire. Fire in the Bible represents the presence of God. Remember the burning bush from which God spoke to Moses. Remember the pillar of fire that guided his people in the wilderness. The presence of God is represented by fire. And the presence of God is what the people were waiting for, longing for, those disciples, all those years ago, since Jesus had ascended to heaven and left them alone again, feeling, oh my goodness, we thought we had Jesus back. We had him for 40 days amongst us in his resurrected body, but now he's gone. They were longing for him and missing him and aching for him, is what I think. And this was 50 days now since the resurrection. 40 days he'd been in his resurrected body amongst them. 10 days of waiting and praying and hoping and longing and wondering what would happen next. The presence of Jesus had showed them what God was like, had told them what to do. Jesus showed them how to pray and what to say and how to be, and without him, they didn't even know how to be disciples anymore. And here they are in Jerusalem, waiting, watching, praying. Because that's what Jesus told them to do. The last thing he said, go there and wait and watch and pray. And so, if we, any of us today, are missing the presence of God in our lives, this is for us. If we are missing a sense of direction or purpose, this is for us. If we are paralyzed by fear and anxiety at times, this is for us. If we're missing his power and we feel very weak and vulnerable, this is for us. I feel like everything that I've said so far is very much for me. I feel rather weak and vulnerable today, and I'm asking for his power as I speak. 50 days after the resurrection, Jerusalem was absolutely packed with people. I feel like it was probably like Palm Sunday all over again. People from all over the known world with Jewish faith or converts to Judaism who were followers, they had come to Jerusalem for an agricultural festival, like a harvest festival, and the city was absolutely heaving. And you heard those names so beautifully pronounced by Joe. And with some trepidation, she asked, how do you say this one? And we figured it. So there they all are. And these are the places, those were the names of that time, but these are the places of now. Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Syria, Israel, Turkey, Egypt, Libya, Greece, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar and Bahrain, and Rome. We hear about those places in the news so often at the moment. They are places of turmoil and places where there is anxiety and apprehension in this present situation of our world at this time. So let's be connected in our hearts and our minds with the people there. Those were the people from those places who were in Jerusalem that day and experienced the Holy Spirit. So there they are waiting, these disciples, not knowing what will happen. And then an overwhelming, indescribable power, the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Wind that you couldn't see, but you could feel it around and within. Fire that you couldn't touch, but that made you feel something beyond words, as though there were flames above each head. Words that they didn't rehearse, but that God released from within them. God gave them words to speak. And the effects of that rippling and rolling out from there to the people around, I think it might have been a bit like a football crowd in a stadium, cheering and shouting. And the people from far away even would hear it and would think, because we're curious, aren't we, human beings, where they would be thinking, what's happening there then? Let's go and see. And what they saw was humble fishermen from Galilee speaking new languages, telling the story of Jesus. Peter, who had so often put his foot in it and got it wrong and said the wrong thing and done the wrong thing and been in the wrong place at the wrong time and all those things. He was so eloquent that day that 3,000 people heard his message and thought, I want to be a follower of Jesus, having heard you. It's so inspired, and I so want to be a bit like him. Disciples, followers of Jesus, who had not believed themselves capable of anything without Jesus, discovered that they had abilities they never knew they had. They opened their mouths to speak, and they sounded like Jesus. They laid their hands on people who were poorly, and it was as if their hands were the hands of Jesus. The worldwide church was born on that day because people had come from all over the world to be there. They'd heard what Jesus was about and they'd decided to say yes to him. And they took Jesus home to where they'd come from and they couldn't stop talking about him. And so from there, the gospel spread and spread and spread. And only 200 years later, the gospel reached these shores. Wildfire, leaping across continents, leaping across seas and oceans, and reaching us here in Silso, in Flitton, in Pullock's Hill, and across this land. He's here. He's here. So people of Flitton and Pullock's Hill and Silso, will you today say, yes, please, I'll have some more of that. I'll have some more of that power. I'll have some more of that sense of Jesus within me so that I become more like him, so that I speak and it's like his words. I don't have to worry what I'm going to say because he'll give it to me in the moment. You might find yourself, when this transforming power is at work within you, able to do stuff that you never thought you would be able to do. Not just using words and being eloquent about Jesus, but offering forgiveness you didn't know you had capacity for to someone who didn't think you ever would forgive them because of what they've done. Taking a risk that you know you don't have courage for. Stepping up to something that God says, you, this is what I'm going to open up before you. Will you step this way? Will you say yes to this? You might find yourself reaching out to someone you had intended to walk away from, or who you avoid because it's not easy, or a situation that makes you feel afraid. If you say yes to the Holy Spirit, Even if you said yes before, but today you are saying yes to more of him, which I hope maybe we all might, then it's a risk. It's a beautiful risk, but it is a risk, because if he is invited, he will come. And we don't know what he will do. And the Holy Spirit, when invited, wastes no time in rearranging the furniture of our hearts. And when he rearranges the furniture to give himself more room, sometimes he might chop it up and make a fire with it. Are we going to risk that? Which is the furniture in our heart that we don't want moved because we like it there where it is? The Holy Spirit's presence is absolutely transformative, and we do not know what he will do. These languages, this speaking in tongues thing, it's a mystery, it is. But those people that day, they heard about Jesus in their own language, even though the disciples didn't know that language. They spoke and the people understood. What do you make of that? It's a mystery. But I do know of a situation like that in my family's experience. So my brother Paul, who works in Mongolia, he was once in a gathering of Christians and he thought he was praying in tongues. He didn't understand what he was saying. But somebody else said to him later, "Did you know you were speaking in Russian just then?" And he said, "Well, no, I didn't. And I also don't know Russian, so I don't know how that happened." It will be a God thing, will that? So we don't understand. But if we trust him, if we trust this God of ours to have the best purposes for us, the purposes that heal our own lives, but also are for the healing of the nations, then we can say yes to him and we can be part of the spreading of the fire. The fire is a fire of love, and it's a fire that is unquenchable. But we can be part of it. It's alive, is this, right here, right now, in this place. Jesus is here and breathes his Holy Spirit upon us. Can we, if we know he's breathing, take a deep breath and feel him within, and the effect that that has on us? It might be about words, but it might be about any of the other things that I've mentioned, or it may be something that you know in your own life, in your own heart, in your own mind, really needs his transformative power. I wonder what it will be for you. I'm going to end with some words from one of my favourite poets and prayers, Malcolm Guite. And he wrote this about Pentecost. "The right words come today in their right order, and every word spells freedom and release. Today, the gospel crosses every border. All tongues are loosened by the Prince of Peace. Today, the lost are found in translation, whose mother tongue is love in every nation." Father God, we're your people. Whatever space there is that could be filled by your Holy Spirit, we're just so aware. And we know that you don't come where you're not invited. And so it's safe here to say yes to you. Your gentle presence, your fiery presence, your power, your possibilities. And so for each of us, there are decisions to make. What do we say yes to? And can we trust you? I think we can. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, our Saviour. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who moves in power. Thank you. Amen.